Welcome to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Judge Donald Allen of the 55th District Court in Mason. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Good. Wanted to get a hold of you after I saw an article about the sobriety court and wanted to talk about that program and its kind of amazing success rate. Why don't you give us some background on the program?
Well, the program has been around since 2004. We have approximately 214 graduates, and what we do is we take people that have multiple drunk driving arrests and we put them through a program of intensive probation that goes through four phases, and depending upon the person's original charge, that period of probation can be either 36 months if it's a felony level or 24 months if it's a misdemeanor level.
And when you talk about people who've had several arrests, is there a number we hit, or you just are seeing, you see a pattern and you say this is where you need to be?
Well, actually, it's a little bit of both. It's a multiple drunk driving arrest, so it would be at least two. And if a person has three or more, that would be at the felony level. So when you're talking about this population, what you're talking about in the main is people that have multiple drunk driving arrests. There's a new law that's just come on board here recently dealing with people that are what they call super drunk, where they have a blood alcohol concentration of 0.17 or higher, but we don't have any of those people in our sobriety court yet, but we're anticipating that that's going to happen because, of course, that gives them an opportunity to try and come in and have a situation where they will be able to benefit from being in sobriety court.
So you haven't had that just because one hasn't come through the system.
Correct.
For you yet? Okay, that's
correct.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Uh-huh.
Now, this program has been used as kind of a model, hasn't it?
It has. Recently, we were visited by the National Center for DWI Courts. It's the National Center based out of Alexandria, Virginia. And basically, there are some folks there that help courts organize to become either sobriety court or drug treatment courts. And they have two different tracks that they run. There's one track for courts that are looking to expand their jurisdiction who are already operating as a treatment court. And then there's another track for courts that are looking to start a DWI court. And it was with regard to the latter category that they decided that they would like to use us as a model court. Those people are engaged in a 3.5-day sort of symposium on what it takes to become a sobriety court. And so they, as part of that training, came out to visit and sat through one of our staffing sessions as well as one of our review hearings. And so that was part of the training that they engaged in.
What are some of the advantages of this? Is this kind of is this a side program that helps in what way?
Well, this is a program, and that's an excellent question, because at the end of the day, what real difference does a program like this make? And the real difference is that, you know, it helps to make sure that our streets are a little bit safer than they would be without the program. Basically, what we're doing is we're trying to get people who have a demonstrated pattern of drinking and driving to stop drinking and driving because of the calamity that can cause on the road. And so if we're successful, and we've been successful, those people won't drink and drive anymore.
Are these people that would have been in jail otherwise that are going through this, as you called it, intensive probation?
Yes, they would have been in jail but for the fact that they have this program. And so what would normally happen is a person would go into jail as a result of having a multiple drunk driving arrest, and you know, their problem in terms of alcoholism or whatever their addiction is wouldn't be dealt with, and they'd get out, and probably the first thing that they would do is go and have a drink at a bar someplace, and then they'd be right back on the road drinking and driving. And so what this program does is it says to the person, you're going to go through a strict period of probation. And basically, I should lay out just a little bit about what that is. When I say strict probation, what I'm saying is that it's an intensive form of probation where the person is tested on a daily basis to make sure that they're not using alcohol. So as a routine, they're tested for what's called a preliminary breath test by 9 a.m. every day when they first come into the program. And then that sort of backs off as they make progress through the program, and you find out that they're able to, you know, adhere to the terms of the program. But if they violate the terms of the program by drinking, for example, or not going to counseling or not going to their AA meetings or whatever the violation might be, they could still go to jail as a result of a probation violation. And a lot of times people do that. There are few people that actually go through the entire program without going to jail. I mean, it happens, but it's rare.
So when this program is successfully completed, that means what? That means they have, well, I'll let you answer the question. I'm sorry.
Not a problem.
I started to answer it for you.
Well, you probably would have done a very good job, but let me just tell you, the advantage that the person has is because our prosecutor works in tandem with us, and we couldn't do this program without our prosecutor. As a matter of fact, I've heard tell of other counties losing their program because the prosecutor was not totally on board with what they were trying to do. But, for example, if a person comes in and they have a third drunk driving arrest, that takes them to the felony level. And so if they successfully complete our program and the prosecutor finds that they're eligible to be in the program at, you know, from the inception, that person's criminal history will reflect that they only have a second drunk driving arrest if they successfully complete the program. So there's a big carrot for them in terms of not going to jail at the beginning and then having their, you know, their record sort of modify because of their successful completion of the program, because the prosecutor will allow for that to happen.
Are you finding with the success rate, you said that about 214 people had successfully completed this, if I'm accurate on the numbers there. The folks who are going to succeed at this are the ones who are looking at it and going, I have an opportunity to change things around completely.
Well, that's true to an extent, but I think sometimes people, they're not even really focused on their own success. They're more focused on, okay, well, this is a way for me to not go to jail. I don't want to go to jail. Jail's not a pleasant place to be. And in the process of dealing with trying to stay out of jail, they learned how to live alcohol-free.
And in terms of helping with another problem, this keeps this decreases the bed usage in the jail, correct?
It does decrease the usage of the bed, and bed space is at a premium nowadays because, as you probably know, our county has had some very tight times fiscally speaking, and so what that's meant is that one of the posts at the jail had to close as a result of financial considerations, and it's my understanding that that reduced the number of beds that were available at the jail by about 70, if I'm not mistaken. And so that gives us fewer opportunities to incarcerate people, and so you have to really look carefully at who you're sending to the jail, you know, because you don't want it there to be a situation that arises where a defendant can look at you with sort of impunity and say, well, I know I'm not going to spend any time in jail because there's no bed space over there, and the jail's going to have to release me, because that takes away a very big deterrent to a person doing further criminal actions and harming the community.
Well, and the recidivism rate is pretty impressive with your program as well. It's about 10%, and nationally, for similar programs, is about 25%.
Yeah, if you look at programs, well, if you look at probation, just generally speaking, people that are rearrested, it's probably well in excess of 50%. And then when you look at treatment programs like what we have, the national average is that the rearrest rate for those persons are about 25%. But with regard to our population, the 55th District Court, our rearrest rate is 17% for all crimes and only 7% for anything that's alcohol or drug-related. So when you say for all crimes, it can be driving while license suspended or not having your driver's license on you or whatever. Mm-hmm. That would be 17%. But if you look at, you know, the problem of addiction and people being rearrested because of drugs or alcohol, it's 7%.
Well, it's an impressive program, sir, and I appreciate you taking the time to tell us about it this evening. Continued success.
Thank you so very much, and I'm so pleased to see that you are interested in conveying this information to your listeners.
Well, we'll do, and I'm sure we'll talk again. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Judge Donald Allen of the 55th District Court in Mason. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.